The Project Tribute Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to aiding our nation's first responders. Our vision and mission is to enhance the life-saving capabilities of our first responders through raising awareness and funding for the life-saving work that they do. Our goal with the podcast is to be an educational avenue and a method for our heroes to express themselves. In the podcast, we will discuss various tough subjects. Some of the subjects may be uncomfortable or controversial. Our guests have the right to share their thoughts and ideas, and for our listeners to hear the unedited words of our guests. The Foundation's role is to showcase a diverse array of thoughts and opinions within the first responder community. If you hear something that you do not agree with, please consider reaching out to us at projecttributefoundation@gmail.com and join our podcast. If you're a first responder and you would like to share your story, we truly would love to hear from you and learn from your experiences. Please enjoy this week's show, and as always, like, comment, and share to help us grow. You can find more information at www.projecttribute.com. Thanks, and have a great one. All right, so we are back. It's been since April at least. I mean, you and Coop were last time you were here, and then I filmed looking at a book, the highly effective people, kind of talking through that. And then we took a pause, and the reason we took a pause is for this room. So this is your first time and our first time really filming it, but considering what it was, what do you think?
I love it, man. Thank you for all the work that you did. For the donors that donated all the money that we can use to put towards all this. So
yeah, actually, will you hit the light real quick?
Sure.
That way, because the sound paneling looks cool and it's a lot of staples, but so we have sound paneled the whole everything other than the ceiling. And then we've got the logo, but all of this was donated from Jan and Bruce Colgate and then the Bartlesville Community Foundation. So we've got four microphones and a lot of technology. And then Kabbalah Computers came and they hooked everything up for us. We've got a lot of technology in this room. We can do different camera angles. All right, you can hit that light again. So if you are listening versus watching, there's video streaming on our YouTube channel. Let's just go through just updating what we've done, where we've been. Right when you and Coop talked, you had just started your job with Air Evac as the flight medic. So it's been wild and crazy on that. So, I mean, how's it going?
It's been awesome. I mean, it's been busy, a little more stressful. I feel like I'm back in school, but it's a good thing. But pretty much got one more round of testing through the company to finish my 6-month orientation. And then I've got 2 years to take what's called the FPC or the Flight Paramedic Certification Exam. And that's probably going to be the most difficult test I've ever taken. But I feel like I'm close to ready. So I think a lot of the stuff that I've done just study-wise through the company has prepared me pretty well for that. But yeah, it's been, I would say, just as busy as the ambulance, just less calls. But each call takes, I'd say, minimum 3 hours from start to finish.
So. Sure. So you're located out of Ponca. Do you go to Kansas? What's the farthest you fly?
Yeah, so we're actually required, anybody that works in Ponca or kind of close to that Kansas-Oklahoma border, all of us are required to have a Kansas license. So I have my Kansas paramedic license and my Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Even if you're a nurse, so my partner has to have her Kansas EMT basic license as well.
Wow. Because, I mean, even though...
It's a Kansas thing.
Yeah,
I mean, that makes sense. You know, we can't drop off a patient in Kansas if we don't have a license in Kansas.
So does the pilot have to have a different helicopter license per state as well? Is it like
nope?
Okay,
it's just a
so just the medical side.
You just pilot, yeah.
Now, what medical training does the pilots do? Do they have to have any, or is it
no?
Just,
and
just
we
flying?
Not to say this in a bad way, but we like it that way.
Okay,
you know, they can hear everything we say. You know, we have our helmets on and our mics and everything, and so we can just talk to each other without pushing a button. So he can hear everything we're saying. We can hear all his communication with the, you know, all the airports and stuff like that. I would rather him be focused on flying.
Right.
And I think if he had more knowledge with the medical stuff, it's easy to listen in and pay more attention to the stuff that's going on behind you because he can't see anything going on.
Sure.
That's kind of how they explained it to me. Some of them have a little bit of basic knowledge, but for the most part, they just...
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They need to know, go faster, but beyond that, it's...
Right.
Yeah. So I was surprised when you first took the job, when I thought LifeFlight, it was always, these are people that have seconds to live. They, you know, the helicopter is chest compressions all the way to the hospital. And in reality, because of how tight the cords are, they need to be somewhat stable before you can put them on the helicopter.
Right.
That's not what I thought. I mean, it makes sense. We need them to get point A to point B the fastest possible. But I was thinking, I mean, so if they need chest compressions, they're going in an ambulance, not a helicopter.
Correct. It's not efficient. I mean, essentially I sit, you know, for the most part, and we do switch back and forth, but I sit on the left-hand side. The patient's head is literally right. I mean, no farther than my knees. The nurse sits next to me on the right-hand side, and she's got all the, like the monitor that can, you know, kind of sees everything that's going on. So essentially if somebody codes, my back is pressed, because we practice this too. My back is pressed against the roof of the helicopter and I'm hovering over the patient. I mean, it's even hard for me to give medications if somebody has an IV.
Right.
Because I've got to reach completely over them to one of their arms or whatever, you know, wherever their IV is. But it's not effective. I mean, we could do it, but if somebody codes in flight, our protocol is to find the next closest hospital, regardless of where we are going. We stop at the next closest facility. And that's basically our only, no go, especially if it comes to a scene flight. If they're in cardiac arrest, that's basically, okay. I mean, we can't, you know.
Yeah. So is it different coming on scene now on the helicopter than on the ambulance? Like, do you notice that other people are looking at you differently?
Yes. And I don't like it.
Okay.
I mean, we essentially do the same thing that anybody else does.
Sure.
It's just, you know, we are in a helicopter, so it's a little bit, you know, it's just like when I first saw one, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. But it's, you know, we run the same calls as everybody else. In Ponca, we do a lot more hospital to hospital transfers.
Okay.
Than some other bases that are in Oklahoma that do a lot of scene flights. It just kind of depends on the area, but we have a hospital right next to our base. We're attached to the base. Our helicopter, if it's in service and the weather's good, it's on there's a pad that's right outside of the ER entrance. And then we also sell memberships, you know, just like, you know, I know Barnesville EMS does the same thing, but you know, if they have a membership, it basically, you know, regardless of what's going on medically, if they need to get from point A to point B and they have a membership,
right. You
know, even if they're not like critical, you know, we're going to fly those people. So,
well, and I think that was kind of a nice thing on the memberships as well, that if somebody gets a membership with Air Evac in this area, it's set up now where a percentage of that comes to the foundation. Is that?
That's in the works. Yeah. So we would basically kind of be we have a code, it's called Git code, and that goes back to the company. And then a portion of it would also go towards the foundation as well. But, we're basically a hub, so we wouldn't be handling all the information.
Sure.
It's just, we would give them, you know, the information and the little pamphlet, and we would send them to our representative for this area.
Yep.
And they use that code that it came from us, and then it comes back to us and goes back to the...
Well, that's what, it's impressive. Just the international travel, that the Air Evac stuff of that, they would get you from international over, you know, back home, and you can, hey, I'm going to be traveling for 5 days, and they give you a 5-day rate.
Yeah.
Like that was pretty impressive to me, that I'm like, all right, next time I need to consider doing that. And the same thing with the ambulance. I mean, I'm in decent health, but it's nice to know that that's something you can buy if you do need a lot of, you know, a lot of services, especially nowadays with gas and all that.
Yeah. And it's cheap. I'm not going to quote what it is, 'cause I really don't know exactly, but,
it was hundreds a year. I mean, for what aviation, you know, fuel is, I was sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you're talking, let's say you didn't have insurance and we were flying you to Oklahoma City from Ponca or whatever, and we had to do a lot of stuff. I mean, you're talking, you know, we would bill, you know,
easily
over $100,000.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, like just the flight alone is 30 grand plus whatever you're having to have happen to you.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, no, I think that it's, I don't know. It was really cool talking with the rep. I've met with them a couple times, and you know, you've had the helicopter land a couple times over here in town. So that's been really, it's been fun. It's been fun to see the kids come through. even the middle schoolers, it's been fun to see them, you know, check out the helicopter and run through it. And it's, to me, it's interesting to see a middle schooler sit in the helicopter and they take up the whole seat. And then you realize like full adults are in these things, plus a patient, there's just no room. So that's exciting, man. I'm happy that that's happened. And there may be another change. Do you want to talk about the other change in your life that's coming forward?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So we found out in March, but wife and I are going to have a baby.
Yes.
Have a little girl. Yeah. Yeah.
God help you.
I know.
That sucks.
No, we're excited, man. We're, you know, we've been kind of wanting kids for a little while and life's just been busy. So
yep.
We've been moving around quite a bit and a lot of new things. So got the new job and, you know, teaching and then AirVac and then
the foundation and
foundation, all this. Bring it on, man.
Now you're going to have a little girl that's going to have you wrapped around her finger.
Oh, yes. She already does.
Unfortunately, so. I feel like the whole foundation is probably going to end up doing that too.
That's all right.
But, well, that's cool, man. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I know that I sent Laura a text telling her congratulations too, because she scares me. So
yeah. She scares me sometimes too.
Yeah, she does. Well, so on the foundation side, we've had a lot of changes too. You know, in the last couple months, we've really changed out the office. I've taken over donating for the rent and all that. We have a phone number. I don't know if you knew that actually. So the cell phone now is attached to the foundation and paid for by the foundation. That's why it's on the front door.
Oh, nice.
So now if somebody wants to call the foundation, it's on our website. They can call us and ask questions or
cool.
Text preferably. Right now I'm getting like 9 million political phone calls.
And oh, dude, I've deleted, I think, 4
oh, yeah,
text messages today. So
I because it's a foundation phone, I can't go like reply back, fuck off. But right. Like, I want to.
Yeah.
So bad.
I wish I could just be taken off that list.
Whatever got me on that list, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will pay my penance for that. So the other thing that I did, I'm going to share the screen. So bear with me. So now, if you're listening, we have a screen in front of us and we have another screen behind Jared to my left. If you're watching, see if I can find the right camera angle here. So there's, you got this guy here and you got this guy here. And what that allows us to do, in the past, we were using a very small laptop and we would be webcamming it. And so now we're able to actually see the show as well as, it dawned on me, I need to make sure I hit record because we've done that a few times. We're recording.
It's recording.
It's recording. And so then on this one, we can also we can webcam in somebody or virtual in somebody. But right now what we're going to do is I'm going to bring up our website. So if you're listening, bear with us. I'll talk you through it. So our website is www.projecttribute.com. We also received our trademark. So
yes.
So Project Tribute is trademarked. I need to put that little logo on there. And the big thing is that I've increased the tabs because people would ask questions. Hey, you know, what are pending initiatives or how do I help or what is this? And so I just went through and like the initiatives. Oh, it helps if I. So I was clicking on the screen share, not on the actual website. There we go. Okay. So what we've been doing is we've got these IFACs. And which camera? This camera.
Yep.
And so the IFAC, it's slang for individual first aid kit, and they have in them the cat tourniquet. And the cat tourniquet, there's been a lot of comments about tourniquets lately. There was a company we actually were using that they unfortunately were providing a subpar product. And the company that we're using now, North American Rescue, as far as I understand it, they are kind of the Nike of first aid supplies. Is that fair to say? I mean, they're a known brand.
Yeah, they're known. I don't know a lot about the brand itself, but I mean, all the stuff that we've gotten from them has been really good. And
yeah, so the kits that we've been putting out, our price is pretty substantially lower than what you could go buy online. And the reason being is that they've cut us a discount because we're a nonprofit and what we're doing. And that's one of the reasons we can't sell the kits. Anytime we go to a show like Sunfest or any of that stuff, people always ask, can I buy it? And yes, you can, just not from us because we're getting a discount and we're not selling these. We're trying to distribute these to first responders. Now, the question I get asked the most, what is the ETD 6-inch that's in that kit? And do we need to break that open?
Sure.
Okay. I got my knife if you don't have yours. So there's this ETD.
That's not a knife.
That's a knife. So So these kits are vacuum sealed, and we've been handing these out to first responders right now, primarily in Oklahoma, but we have handed them out in other states, and we'll put them out to anybody that requests, provided we have funding for it. And again, there's easily $60 worth of stuff in them. So the first thing Jared's pulling out is the trauma shears. Wow, they even tape them.
I know.
Wow. Okay. So that makes it where they're not poking through.
I'm going to keep the light on. So we can see
it. Yeah. Should we change camera angle?
Camera one, camera two.
Camera one, camera two, camera one.
Okay. There you go.
So it's going to be this camera is the one that's on right now.
Perfect.
And if you want, I'll take the screen sharing off. That way they can see. So the scissors.
And those are good scissors. I have the wrap, they call them Raptors.
Yeah.
And they're not cheap. They're very durable. You can use it as an oxygen key. Not these, but
yeah,
they fold together, but they're very, very bulky. And that's one thing that I've noticed with like the flight suits, one of the many things I've noticed, not to mention the 100 degree weather that we've had recently. And I would rather be in bunker gear than the flight suits. But anyway,
wow.
They've got lots of pockets, but they're not like cargo pockets.
Right.
So I was carrying my Raptors in them for a while, and they just, you know, they flop around, and these I've used quite a bit, and they're
staying true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So two pairs of gloves. So we've got the scissors, two pairs of gloves.
And I believe they're large gloves.
I will look while you're, what else you got? Yep. They are large pair of gloves and large pair of gloves.
Chest seals.
So these are the wound packing gauze. Now tell me what, so these are, I'm assuming if I have like a puncture, you literally just put these inside of the puncture wound.
Yes. And I don't know.
3 feet by 5 yards.
So they folded.
Looks like they, yeah, it looks like they're compressed.
Okay. So a lot of times we call this Z gauze. So basically, you need to be able to like regular gauze. It's like in a roll. What we've been taught, if you just have a regular, you know, gauze roll, is you
push in the middle,
push through the middle, and that way you can pull out the center of it, because essentially what you want to do is just shove it in as much as you can, as quick as you can.
Yep.
So you get it packed, and then you can wrap the rest of it with the gauze itself. It's folded in a way that makes that part of it really easy.
Okay. So you've got, so it's got the gloves, and it's got photos on here.
Yep.
Now this is, we aren't giving these to civilians, but this kit is available to civilians.
Oh yeah. So you can buy this stuff on Amazon.
Yeah. So what's nice is there's, I mean, very clear photos on the packaging, exactly how to use this. And I mean, you've got it in there where it's got the packaging zed out. Okay. So we got two of the wound packing gauze. We got two of the large nitrile gloves,
chest seal.
Okay. And two chest seals or one?
So I believe there are two in there. And then you can also use the package as a chest seal as well. You would need some tape to tape that down.
Yeah.
But essentially anything that's like this, that you can stick on top of a penetrating hole or wound on the chest.
Yeah.
You know, gunshot wound, stabbing, whatever.
Now this isn't the chest seal. This is just the label.
You sure?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yes. Oh, hey. Instructions. So on here, it's got instructions on applying a tourniquet step by step. And then on the back of it, it's got how to apply the gauze and the compress.
So this is the basic kit. So the basic kit does not have the chest seal, but their intermediate kit does.
Okay.
And then the next level is the one that has quick clot. So we've been giving out between the basic and the intermediate, depending on supplies. But because of the quick clot, we won't do those.
Your
advice.
Like I said, though, we can use, you can use this as a chest seal.
Because it's just to poke a hole so that your chest cavity can expand if needed.
Well, so this is to cover the hole to prevent air from entering the chest cavity.
Right.
So what'll happen is, you know, let's say you puncture the chest cavity. That's a pressurized system. Especially if you penetrate the lung itself, air escapes into that cavity and it builds up inside of that cavity, and then it doesn't allow the lungs to expand.
Right.
And so the lung gets smaller and smaller. So essentially what you have to do sometimes is, it's called burping this. You open it up and let the air escape.
So Mark Wahlberg,
or I can stab him.
And there's a movie where that's like the whole premise of it. You know what I'm talking about? What, the movie with Mark Wahlberg, he has a little valve that he has to open up because he was suffocating because his lung. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's got George Clooney in it, Mark Wahlberg.
Is he a sniper?
Nope. That's another one. I mean, yes, he's in it, but this is like a 1990s. They go to Desert Storm to go steal a whole bunch of gold. It's even got Jamie Foxx in it. Okay. There's a movie about this.
I'm just as old as you are.
So I will overlay that movie over this because it's, yeah. All right, so we don't have Chesswind in this one. We've got the survival blank. Now, what's interesting about that, though, is when we were building our own kits, this came up a lot that you guys were asking for the survival blanket. Why? What's the purpose of that?
So in the scenario of trauma, right, there are different things that lead to better or worse outcomes. One of them is temperature regulation. So we want to prevent them from burning more energy. Okay. So if they get cold, what's your body do when it gets cold?
Yeah,
it shivers.
Yep.
And you're burning lots and lots of energy with just that. I mean, you can't control that. So we keep them as warm as we possibly can to prevent their body from having to work harder to, compete, basically, because they're probably bleeding out. They've got other stuff going on internally. So if we can prevent that from happening with just a simple blanket, we want to keep them warm. So even if it's, 100 degrees outside and we've got the AC cranked, we're going to be sweating in the back of, the ambulance or helicopter, whatever, to make sure we, keep them regulated so that they, their body can actually.
So this one, I think, is that ETD dressing. Emergency trauma dressing is what it stands for, apparently. So tell me about that. What is that?
So this is going to be a pressure dressing. So there are three things that you can do to prevent somebody from bleeding out in the event of some sort of trauma, like gunshot wound, whatever. One of them is elevation. So keep it above your heart, right? Your heart has to pump against gravity.
Right.
Direct pressure. And then a tourniquet is the last, you got squirting blood or whatever.
Right.
I mean, tourniquet's probably going to be your go-to. But what this does is allow, let's say, just direct pressure. When I say direct pressure, we're taught, in our trauma stuff, it's about 5 minutes of direct pressure. And when I say direct pressure, I'm putting my whole body weight on, like, from my knee. I'm putting my knee into your arm or whatever, and I'm holding it there for 5 minutes. It's to basically start that clotting process.
Right. Give it something to connect to.
So this has almost like a little ball of gauze in here, and that's what holds the direct pressure. So you put that on there, hold it for just a little bit, and then you can wrap this
kind of like an ace
band around it. Yes. Around. And that holds its own pressure. So that way, you can wrap this up and you're not taking one person to solely do that job.
Right.
You're essentially taking a person out of it. It can then do something else.
Well, and that's what, with those crisis kits, it's got basically all the same stuff in it. And the whole purpose was that one fireman, one ambulance, somebody runs in there and starts tossing tourniquets at people. And if they, even if they just get it around their leg and then somebody knowledgeable comes behind them and starts cinching it up.
Yeah.
Then the tools are there. And that's the biggest piece of this is getting the tools just available. Now I've heard a whole bunch, windlass. Is that what this is called? What is this bar called?
I don't know.
What, there's a word for it.
I'm sure there is.
Okay. So anyways, I've heard that people were talking about this needs to be aluminum. This one feels pretty stout. What are your thoughts? It feels strong enough.
They just call it a rod.
They call it
secure the rod inside a clip. This feels very sturdy. I mean, you see some that are, plastic. I've got one. The one that's in my bag that I keep in my truck is metal.
That feels robust. I mean, it doesn't even bend at all.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, it's not going anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. So, overall, these kits there's a lot in there. I mean, if somebody's having a major event, you can buy at least some time with it. Overall, like how many different kinds of wounds do you see capable of solving, not solving, but at least buying more time? I mean, gunshots, big stabbings, big cuts or lacerations. I mean, what else?
Gunshots are tough too, because, depending on the caliber and how close they were, I mean, you're going to have two wounds,
sure,
exterior wounds. I mean, not to mention all the stuff that's going on inside, but I mean, it's a lot.
So, I mean, these kits, you feel like they're still a pretty good.
Oh yeah, definitely. First line. And this is first line. This is not like a continued treatment.
This is to buy you time for the
injuries. Exactly. Yeah. This is to give them a fighting chance at surviving,
So this is what we've been fundraising for. And kind of one of the mistakes that, I recognized is that on our website, I was putting what we purchased the kits for. So I would say, this is what's been donated and this is what we've put to the field. And in reality, that was a mistake that we've put a, we spent $12,000. Well, but the market value of that was actually just shy of $23,000. Right. And one of the benefits of coming through the foundation as a donor is that we can get more bang for your buck. So if these with shipping and tax cost us $41, if you go buy it, it's $60. So if I buy, basically at every third one's free if you buy it from us. We saw the same thing when we did the big casualty kits for Bartlesville Fire and the three SROs and then now the six S or the nine total SROs, that those kits was a savings of just about $5,000 for us buying it versus them. And so that's where, if you're watching this as a donor, that's to me that's the benefit of why donate through us versus just go buy it for them. Why wouldn't you just go North American Rescue, cut us out and go buy them? That's fine if you want to. I mean, I just want them to have the supplies because we're not taking any cut. You and I are here.
Right.
We're not making any money off this podcast. But I can, for the same amount of money, get more.
Right.
And that's the difference, is that the Bartlesville Fire asked for the MPD rope devices. And I talked with Chief Top and talked with several, and we're going to look into it. And so I found the company that I talked with Adam, and asked him, hey, what company were you wanting us to use? And so he gave me the link, and I reached out to him and said, hey, this is what we're doing. This is who I am. This is our 501c3. Could you give us a price break? We'll see. It never hurts to ask, but then if they do, that's more money I can put towards other gear, or, I can buy three for the price of two.
Well, as far as the donors thing go, I mean, if we're talking about going, on your own and buying stuff from them or going through us, it's only going to help us out. If you like what we do and like our mission, I mean, we can get more bang for the buck. And I mean, you're helping us essentially, because we're dealing with more donors, more money, which is going to help us grow. So
yeah, the big difference this year, we're really focusing on grants. And so the Cherokee Nation, they made a pretty good donation. That second year in a row, Bank of Oklahoma, they donated to us. We've got several grants out there. The Bartlesville Community Foundation, for example. And a lot of the grants that I'm applying for, one of the requisites or prerequisites is to have a physical address. And so that's why the office, it's important to have this space, not necessarily just to have a space for people to come to, but because when we're seeking other funding, they want to make sure it's not just some person in their garage. Can't blame them. And then same thing is to be able to show, play for Burke Foundation. They gave us $5,000. Now they've committed to another $2,000. And that's when I'm going to a grant company and then they ask, how many dollars of donations have you handled? I'm able to say, I think we're at 17,000. So we'll be at 20,000 by the end of this. And that includes the donations just for computers, the donations just for the office space and all that. And so it helps show them we're handling, we'll probably by the end of this year be at $40,000 or $50,000. Now, my goal is hitting every Oklahoma first responder with these kits. That's $600,000. I mean, it's a lofty goal.
Yeah.
I hope we hit it. I'll give it my all. So that's one of the things. The big change on the website, kind of going back to that, we're going to bring it back. So as departments, I keep doing that, I keep trying to scroll. So as departments are requesting to us, I'm going on the initiatives tab, and underneath it is the pending request. And so I've gone on there, and I'm going to hit refresh because I've actually updated it since I loaded all this. I didn't hit save. That's funny. Mm-hmm. So like Pawnee County Explorers, their stuff's sitting over here. We're going to be delivering this week. Ferris, I'm delivering Tuesday. Still waiting on Jones, the ballistic shields. The ballistic shields and the MPDs are just hard, just because that the dollar amount that they cost.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's what, I talked with Adam, the requester, and I get it. I mean, once they explained kind of what we're doing now versus how that would help, it made sense to me. And then I went to Chief Topping and said, all right, tell me what are your thoughts on this? And you're the only chief that I'm going to ask permission from. And he kind of walked me through his concern of their current methods versus the future. And I was like, okay. I also didn't know that Adam's certified in the MPD. And then you and I talked about this yesterday of, due to the school shootings and multiple mass shootings, that they're redoing the way that they think in the fire world.
Right.
With all that together, it makes more sense. We're getting a lot more requests for the crisis kits, as well as
just the getting people off the scene faster. And so that was an interesting talking with Adam. You talked to James. So there's going to be a lot more to come on that. The other hard one, I sent it off with Tyler, is this Ward 5 Louisiana volunteer fire. They had all their turnouts get stolen. But the problem is, what is their version of turnout? What is that? So I asked Tyler to, hey, will you call them?
It's very expensive.
Well, and it could be anything, just their bunker gear, or are we talking their SCBAs, their tanks? I mean, what's gone? And so I understand what we need to go fund.
Well, there are standards with all that stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
Every state's a little bit different. And
so Tyler was going to reach out to his company's rep that covers them and try to figure out what do they need. That way we can get a better understanding. The other one, Tulsa International Airport Police Department, we're waiting on their legal team to decide whether they can accept a delivery or not, which I get it. I mean, they're going to have a safety department and all that.
Sure.
So we're just kind of plugging away. So I think the on-deck request right now is Osage Nation, and then all the other ones above there, the Jones and all that. But if you're looking at this, or if you go on our website and you're like, man, I've got, you know, $500 I want to spend. Kind of like that's what Sequoia Fire did. Sequoia Fire, they went on there. They said, hey, we want to donate. They went and found this Winona Police Winona Volunteer Fire. They reached out and said, hey, John, we're going to donate $550 for you for the Winona Police Fire Department. So those actually arrived yesterday. And so it's just kind of a neat thing. Just putting everything we do right on the website of here's all of our pending requests. Here's where our money's going, how our money's going there. And then also just getting involved, get a lot of requests for people. Hey, how do I volunteer? And that's something I need to do a better job about is doing that. But as you and I shared an idea of our signature event. And I think we're going to start bringing in the volunteers that let's figure this out. Who knows who and all that. But the one thing that I'm most proud about that we've changed is, so we've got it updated to 22 requests, about $60,000. But so far, I need to update the total donations, but we are well over 100% of donations going to the field. And this was, I think the $10,000 was as of 2 weeks ago, and we've had a couple $100 come in, like Judy donated and a few others. So we're probably closer to $12,000, but $22,000 of these kits of market value have already gone out to the field. As when we ended last year, we were at 30,000 and we didn't really start until July,
right?
August. So I think, you know, if we keep on just this same path, we'll hit 60,000.
Yeah, we're right on track.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, as everybody's kind of seen, I mean, this is our bread and butter, but you know, we've got ballistic shields on there. We've got, you know, rope rescue stuff, bunker gear. I mean, whatever, you know, whatever needs you guys might have. I mean, you know, we'll do our best with getting what you guys need, but
I think the biggest thing to me, so I added, I don't know if you've seen this. So on the bottom left is our Google reviews, trying to just get more, having more real people testify to our work. And you know, these are real legit people. And so if you put in a Google review, it'll automatically load your comments onto our website. Our Facebook page, same thing. I didn't realize the reviews weren't available on there. So those are some big ones. The biggest help that we need, if you're listening to this, though, is if you see us on Facebook, or even if you're listening on the podcast, getting on there and sharing social media and saying, hey, just check out our website. But it's getting people to know that we exist. We don't have a runoff, or we're not running out of people that need things. We're having a problem finding people that will fund the need. So that's the bigger thing, is connecting the dots to those that are just wanting to help, either financially or physically. Departments need things left and right. But
well, and this is going to go off on another tangent for just a second.
Sure.
But, you know, on one of the first podcasts we did, I talked about the numbers of, you know, how many EMTs, you know, had went through school for the first time, EMTs and paramedics, and just the number drop. And this was back in 2020, yeah, I think.
Shocking.
But we're seeing it now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, even at AirVac, I mean, last I had checked, there were 100 and some spots open, and that was company wide, right? We've got
sure, but
bases, I mean, all over
100 something spots. When there's a team of three, that's how many total flights are down because we don't have the manpower.
Well, I know the chief of Independence, Kansas Fire Department really well, and I think he said they had 6 or 8 people total. 2 or 3 of them are paramedics, and I mean, we're just getting busier. It's not ever going to slow down.
No.
And I know it's a tough profession, but it's, we need people more than anything right now. So,
yeah. And I think that that's why that to me is, it's when we hand the items over, it's not just giving them the tools, it's giving them the I care.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I've had so many different departments. And when I reach out to them and say, hey, you're funded, they're shocked because there's so many. I've dealt with that. Like I have a load of people that want to talk with me, stand next to me and give me all the things to do, or, hey, I got a friend, or, hey, I know a guy, but none of them actually, like, very rarely does it pan out. It's a whole bunch of empty promises. And that's been the more frustrating thing that I've seen. And so I can imagine the world that you all live in. It's the same thing. It's just all these people that want to stand next to you and say, I'm standing and take the selfie with their friends and say, hey, I stood next to a firefighter today. But they're not willing to go, like, learn what does that firefighter need? Or, I mean, hell, I saw on TikTok just this morning, somebody saying, please stop asking us what our worst call was. I mean, on social media, the first responders are going, fucking stop.
Yeah.
Like it's just crazy to me how things have become.
Well, in the nature of what we do anyway, I mean, we're going to figure it out.
Sure.
You know, whatever problem comes up, whatever problem exists, you know, it's just my mindset anyway, even at home.
Yep.
I'll figure it out. But we don't expect, you know, people to reach out or, you know, donate stuff, especially stuff like this that could really, I mean, I don't know if people realize, but this could affect, you know, you. I mean, not just for us, you know, as a first responder, but this could affect,
yeah,
you know, your family, you, friends, whatever. So it's your community.
Well, when I'm writing a grant, for example, we wrote a grant for Lahoma, and the question was, what's the total impact of the total number of people that this, if we funded this, that it would benefit. And when I go, literally what I do is I go look up, if it's a sheriff's department, I look up the total population of the county, and that's the number.
Yeah. I mean, that pick one of those people.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Oh yeah. That's, you know, the other, kind of to your point on the staffing, the three departments I'm waiting to, I mean, their stuff set here for 2 weeks now. And I just can't get them to answer the phone. I mean, it's nothing against them. Yeah. It's just that's how their lives
crazy busy.
Yeah. I mean, that's how their lives are right now. It's, I mean, one of them was, hey, I can meet with you, but it's going to be the 4th of July. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, I'm taking a vacation day Tuesday to go talk with a group in Muskogee on behalf of first responders. And then I'm driving to South Oklahoma to Atoka to then go deliver. I mean, it's because that's the only time that they had, you know, trying to figure out a way that I can take off from my day job to go hit all those spots. But it took 3 weeks of calls, emails, texts, and finally, you know, shoot, I need to answer this. So I feel it just from the manpower, and these are departments on all corners of the state.
Yeah.
And all of them are struggling to answer. So
I don't know how you do it though. I appreciate all the work you're doing.
Yeah. It's important. It's not easy. Like Saturday was tough. So that's the other thing. We opened the store. We did our grand opening. So now every day, don't do that.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, 10 to 6, over here in Bartlesville, we've got our store open where you can come buy our shirts, and our website. And so if you order online and you're in Bartlesville, you can click the pickup local and come get your shirt from the store on Saturday. That way you have it. But yeah, it was tough. It was, you know, I walked in with kind of a game plan of things I wanted to do, and then that didn't work out.
Welcome to my life, buddy.
Yeah. So, but I do, I mean, I joke about it, but I you know, I mean, this is our second year, or we're going into our second year, and the first year just trying to wrestle all of the first responders to get all of them in attendance to a meeting was a nightmare, to the point where we had to say, okay, you guys are going to go be advisory because you can't show up for a meeting. And then we're going to go have a board, and even the board, because they're spouses of first responders or friends of first responders, they're pretty hard to tie down too.
Yeah.
But it made it easier this week, particularly. I chuckle about it because it's like I'm a year into dealing with this, and just today, I mean, hey man, I'm going to be, you know, available at this time, and then an hour later,
nope,
it's the SpongeBob 2 hours later. But I think that it's
just Jared time.
Jared time is bullshit. But it made it where I understood, because I've dealt with it firsthand with my first board, why these departments are struggling to respond to me. It's not a me thing. It's they are just balls to the wall. You know, it's just crazy. The one thing Have you seen, you have not seen the previews that Ashton's done of our video. I didn't show that to you, did I?
Which one?
Of Stillwell.
Of her talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. You sent them to me.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
yeah. That's
so we talked with, an officer in Stillwell, Oklahoma, Miss Amanda, and Amanda was shot the day that she received her second paycheck. And the event itself was, you know, it's traumatic, and it's a Stillwell. If you don't know it, it's a very small town. And so we spent time talking with her, and the reason she's alive is because she purchased a tourniquet on her own and applied it to herself after being shot. And then they rushed her to secondary care. She was life-flighted or air-evac'd to, I think, either Tulsa or Oklahoma City. And then she's still going through the recovery phase. And that was, I think, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of that video that Ashton's working on for us is to show the general citizen why this is an important tool to get in the hands of every first responder. And so I got to see the previews, and it's a powerful just preview to have the two men that were with her when she got shot and that transported her to kind of the next level of care. And I think Ashton was working on getting the overlay of the audio of the radio chatter.
That would be interesting to hear.
Yeah. But what's exciting to me about using Ashton is Ashton's now a reserve police officer. Her dad was a captain with the police department here and taught, I don't know if he taught criminal justice, but he taught some class over at the local college in the policing realm. So you have a female officer making a video about a female officer. And so it makes it where I always worry about the exploiting first responders, because we don't make any money, but it's an easy thing to say that we're doing. But if I have an officer making a video for an officer, it's clean. And Ashton does such amazing work that I'm excited. I'm excited to see the final product, and then hopefully that can help get us more advocacy towards why this is needed.
Yeah. Well, and I'd like to do, you know, some sort of training or class as well, you know, make a video or something. Not that the first responders we're donating this to don't know how to use it, but just for the general knowledge.
Yeah.
You could kill somebody or bleed them out faster.
Yep.
If this is put on incorrectly. So, it does need to be put on, you know, in the right circumstances and in the right way. This is not a fun experience to have a tourniquet. It's probably the most painful thing you're ever going to have done to you.
Yep. It's definitely, if you are having a tourniquet placed on you, that's a night you will talk about for the rest of your life.
Yeah, hopefully.
Otherwise, yeah, that's fair. This is not a minor cut.
Yeah.
It's really, none of this is. So, yeah. So really that's kind of our big push, is we're trying to get these in the hands of every Oklahoma first responder, but we'll serve any first responder across the nation. It's our second year. So trying to figure out more to reach. I think that's a pretty good summation. Am I missing anything?
Not that I can think of. We had our ribbon cutting as well. So we are a chamber.
We are an official business. We have office hours. We have Chamber of Commerce membership.
Weird.
We cut a ribbon. I didn't realize you actually cut a ribbon. I thought that I thought that maybe it was Velcro, but no, we cut a real ribbon.
I know. I have it.
Did you really?
I do.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's good for our first kind of return. So we're going to get back to trying to air once a week. So this will come out Friday. I think we were doing Friday at 7 PM. So that's where this will air, and then we'll do some snippets. I need to take a selfie to show that we're doing this and advertise. So pardon us listeners as we do a real quick selfie. Oops, if I hit the button.
We are on all social media now. John's getting good at TikTok.
Oh, good God.
He's learning.
Yeah. I was pretty proud of the Guardian Angel next to the donut box. I liked that one.
I'll say your song choices for these have been interesting.
Yeah. The Duloc over at Sunfest. Mm-hmm. And that was, so what happened was,
One of them, I think, was the MASH theme song.
While you were landing.
Yes.
Well, that's what MASH was.
I know.
Okay.
So I thought it was funny. I liked it.
Do you know the song?
Yeah,
you told me.
I didn't know it had words.
It has words.
It does.
It has words. I learned the hard way. It has words. Yeah. And then I think the big thing that so news that we will be sharing soon, we're going to start working on a yearly event, but it's going to be focused around mental health. I think one of the things you and I talked about that's worth sharing here is even down to I'm having to change the ice machine in the office because it's not scaring is not the right word, but it has caught the attention of first responders because it's one of those, countertop ice machines. And when it drops the ice, it drops five things of ice. So it goes and every first responder that's come through, that's their first time, it drops the ice and they start looking for where's the gunfire coming from. And so that to me, if we're going to use this space for peer support, we need to make sure that doesn't happen. So we're switching from an ice maker to ice trays, just because through observations of our first responders, we don't want to have any kind of moment that would break their train of thought if they were in a peer support conversation here. I did talk with the fire marshal here. He really liked the idea of having a space he could bring any of the firefighters to. So getting more conversations, and locally they've all said that we could be better, which I thought that was exciting. It's one thing to say, yeah, we do it. Yeah, we're great. It's another for somebody to say, we need to do better.
That's more difficult to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so
it's acknowledgement.
Exactly.
It's not just, pushing it. Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's hard to say your flaws. Then it's easier to say, yeah, I'm good.
The beginning of my whole peer support, career, you don't need it till you need it.
Yep.
But then when you do, it's one of those things you kind of want to have in place to prevent stuff like that happening instead of being reactive. So
we're the nature of the podcast is to hit mental health. So you're going to hear a lot about that in some form or fashion. I'm not a first responder, so it's one of those where I kind of have to gauge. Jared will do a lot of the podcasting. I might be here, I might not. But I just want to take a second and thank all the folks that have supported us in our first 2 years. The list is big, and I always get nervous listing people because I feel like I'm going to forget someone. And so it's easier to just say I have a list, but if it's not in front of me, I'm going to miss somebody. But we are easily in the $30,000-$40,000 worth of donations from multitudes of companies and businesses and individuals. We had several of them just come by last Saturday. So to you all that made this room happen, thank you. It's exciting and it's terrifying all at once. It's a big commitment. I'm sure it made me uncomfortable right now.
It's overwhelming.
Now. Yeah. From an idea that you and Justin had to this is a real room.
I know.
So, well, I think with that, let's wrap up. And then we'll get back to going. So we'll see you guys every Friday around 7 p.m. provided technology works. Other than that, if you need anything, projecttribute.com. Jared, parting words, what you got?
If anybody wants to be on the podcast or has a good, good idea for us to bring on somebody, we always like to talk with, other first responders, but, health professionals, we're going to try to get a few people on there that don't know a lot about first responder culture.
Yep.
Just to kind of get their first general impression of what we do and the stuff we deal with. And I think that's going to be cool. Yeah. Kind of getting a true outside, point of view on some of the stuff that we,
yep.
And just answer some questions and stuff.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. I'm excited for it, and I'm not going to leak what the idea is. So, alrighty guys. Well, thanks for putting up with us for however long it has been. And, with that, I think we'll close out. Alrighty. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, buddy.
This podcast is hosted by the Project Tribute Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to aiding our first responders. Thank you for listening. For more information on our efforts, check us out at www.projecttribute.com. If you're a first responder that would like to share your story, contact us at projecttributefoundation@gmail.com. You can find us on various social media and podcast sites by searching the Project Tribute Foundation. 100% of donations are used to save lives while our retail store pays for any of our operational costs. Thank you again, and please be sure to like us, follow us, and share our foundation with your friends. Thank you, and have a great day.